Brother Jake called it great salvation. And this is not unfound in the scripture. It is called great salvation. In Hebrews 2, he says, if the word, sorry, I'm going to quote some verses outside the, I'm only not to study them, but just to prove, you know, we teach some young converts. We tell them, if I don't prove it from the scripture, then it is doubtful. So they, everything that I tell them, they say, where is it found in the scripture? So we just quote verses to prove. In Hebrews 2, he says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience have received a just recompense, how shall we escape so great salvation, which was first given by the Lord and proved unto us by those that heard him? So it is a great salvation. And the word salvation actually includes most, if not all, the spiritual blessings that God had given us. That great salvation includes forgiveness of sins, redemption, justification, reconciliation, and I think we're going to study this in our study, new birth. This is how great the salvation is. And when we speak about redemption, a brother mentioned, it is redemption by blood and redemption by power. It has to be that. Redemption is different from purchase. The Lord purchased the entire world by his blood. Remember this parable of the hidden treasure and the merchant that has a hidden treasure in the field, and he went and bought the field because of the treasure. So when you buy a slave, he becomes your slave. When you redeem a slave, you pay his price and set him free. And this is the redemption that the Lord has done. You know, I met once a man from the U.S., he said, we redeem slaves in Africa. He said, what do you do? He said, we go there and pay the price, exactly what we said. We pay their price and set them free. I said, how much do you pay? He said, $30, $40. But the price of our redemption was the precious blood of Christ. So they were redeemed by blood in the land of Egypt by the Passover, but they were still under bondage, as it was mentioned. So the power was needed that they would be freed when the Egyptians and Pharaoh drowned in the sea. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel. The Lord would be gloriously triumphed, the horse and his rider, as he cast into the sea. So one cannot even sing except assured of redemption, except when we are set free. And the Lord said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. But salvation in Old Testament terms, what salvation from their enemies? Just like here. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he's going to do for you today. The Egyptians, which you have seen them today, you've not seen them forever. The Lord would fight for you, and he shall hold your peace. That was the salvation all over in the Old Testament. It is salvation from their enemies. So I'm going to quote another verse. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, in his beautiful song, he said, the Lord has risen for us a horn of salvation. And then in the course of what he's studying, he said, salvation from our enemies. But the Spirit of God makes a great shift. He said that we may be forgiven from our sins. So he moved them from the understanding of salvation of the Old Testament to what we understand now. The angel said to Joseph, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take your wife Mary, because that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sins. You know, some of the English dictionary, some of them are Christian, I think. I looked at the word salvation in Webster and Oxford, and he says, salvation from a danger, and then the next one is salvation from the penalty of sin, especially in the life after death. That's Oxford. That's what it is, a little bit. So this is the salvation that we have. Just one more thing. What is the opposite of salvation? Why did we need to be saved? You know, to understand all these beautiful expressions, look at the opposite of it. Why did we need forgiveness of sins? Because we were guilty. Why did we need justification? We were condemned. Why did we need reconciliation? We were alienated and enemies in our works and deeds, in our position. Why did we need salvation? You look at some verses. Salvation is the opposite of being perishing. 1 Corinthians 1. The word of the cross, to them that perish is foolishness. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God. So salvation is the opposite of perishing. You and I were perished. But it's also the opposite of being lost. In Luke 19, when this Zacchaeus came down from the tree, he said, this day salvation has happened in this house, for he is also a son of David. And then he says this beautiful, well-known verse, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So you and I were perishing, you and I were lost. There's a common term in Egypt. He says, this boy is lost. We were all lost. There's no one of us that is born found. Someone asked another one person, did you find the Lord? He said, no, but he found me. We were lost. We were perishing. And we needed salvation. And salvation is in no other but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood.